The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
And welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. My name is Alex Dunn and I've been joined on the line by Catherine Fry to look ahead to Cheltenham Trials Day. A great day of action on Saturday to look forward to. Gordon Brown, John Budden and James Millman will be your studio team. They'll be live from 12 or 5 p.m. bringing you all the action from Cheltenham as well as Doncaster and Lingfield. As I said, promises to be a really, really good day. A lot of festival pointers. And hopefully we can pick a few winners for you. Hi Catherine, how are you doing?
Hey Alex, how's it going?
Not too bad, how are you?
Yeah, I'm alright, thanks. Apart from a smashed up thumb, I'm grand.
Yeah, you were just saying off air, you've had a bit of an accident.
Yeah. Shut my thumb in a car door on Tuesday. Now I mashed it up pretty badly, so...
Not great.
Yeah, operating everything left-handed. Of course it would be the hand that I write with.
That's just the law, I'm afraid. That's what happens when you get yourself. As I said, a great day's action to look forward to. Seven races of particularly high quality.
Yeah.
We're going to focus on four of them. Just a bit of sort of news, if you like. I think if you haven't heard the fact that Sam Twistenderry is riding big bucks, then I don't know where you've been, to be honest. But I certainly haven't spoke to you about it. What do you make of the fact that he is taking the ride on big bucks? No Daryl Jacob, of course. What do you think about that?
I think the kind of whole story behind it was slightly strange. Obviously, the piece from Paul Nicholls came out that explained why Daryl wouldn't be taking the ride and that he saw it as, I believe his words were, something of a poison chalice. And then, of course, the conflicting view from the owner came out. Alan Lee wrote it, was it in the Times? It's hard to know. Nobody really knows, apart from the parties that are involved. Maybe that is the reason. Maybe Daryl did feel that. I think the reason given was that he felt that it was part of the old guard at Ditcheat. I obviously, look, I'm not a jockey, never will be. I do find it sort of quite strange to believe that a jockey wouldn't want to ride big bucks. But if those genuinely are his reasons, then that's absolutely fine. Sam, I mean, he's been improving all the time, last few seasons. This season, been absolutely riding out of his skin. You've seen him successfully join up with Ditcheat quite a few times. Sam rides Cheltenham particularly well. I think there are a few that really do it. But obviously, I think maybe he does gain confidence from the fact that it's you know, it's his own backyard, really. And he saw him win the West Yorkshire on Tidal Bay, who obviously can be a bit of a tricky customer, and he gave him an absolute, you know, peach of a ride. Big Bucks is obviously does hit the flat spots in running, but he looks a much more straightforward ride than something like Tidal Bay. And good luck to him. I mean, it's fully deserved. And just note on Sam, I mean, I think he's a great ambassador for the National Hunt Game, really. He comes across to the media very well. There's absolutely no ego on him at all. He talks very well. You see him being interviewed. You ask him a question about a ride and he'll give you the most detailed response he can. And good luck to him. It's great for him.
Yeah, I'd echo those thoughts. I did a podcast a few weeks ago when this news broke. Mm. And I basically said what you said. I can understand what Daryl Jacobs said.
Yes.
But I think if you're a jockey, you grow up wanting to ride horses like big bucks.
Yes.
So it is a bit of a strange one, I think.
I'm feeling a little bit sorry for Daryl. I think I think his confidence is slightly down, and I think that's sort of showing quite a lot. And you know yourself, Alex, when your confidence is low, kind of little things go wrong, don't they? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I really hope that he bounces back from kind of this little phase he's going through, and let's hope that it is just a blip. Obviously, you know, a lot's being read into the fact that this maybe happened a while ago with Sam Thomas. You know, I mean, Paul Nicholls hasn't got where he's got to be. He's almost like a football manager, really, isn't he? And listen, you know, whatever you make of the story behind this, everyone does have their own opinion on it, and they're entitled to that. You can't take away from the fact that he is probably, I think he's the best trainer in the land. He does right by his horses, and even when his horses have been on a long layoff, they're always fit and ready to do their job, as we'll see tomorrow. But it is a strange one. To be honest, I don't think we've heard the end of the story. I think the story will unfold more. It wouldn't come as any massive shock to me if we saw Sam in the number one role come next season. But again, that's all speculative and hearsay. So we'll have to wait and see what happens.
Mm. Okay. Right. We'll move on to some of the action then.
Mm-hmm.
We'll start with the first race on the card, the 12:40. It is the Triumph Hurdle Trial. Grade 2 contest over 2 miles and 1 furlong. Interesting race. We've got horses, the likes of Goodwood Mirage. Ronaldinho only had the one run. Goodwood Mirage, easy for me to say. I know Matt Walton and Darren Owen were keen on that. Obviously, a few weeks back, having made his debut. But I wasn't crazy about the way that he jumped, really. I know he'll have to improve to win this. But comes up against some horses who've been there and done that, if you like. Vincenzo Mio, Kentucky Hayden, who, of course, was beaten last time by Ballyglasheen.
Mm-hmm.
Le Rocher also in there. 6 pretty strong candidates here. Which one do you like?
I'll tell you a little story behind Ballyglasheen. At the international meeting, I'm no paddock judge. I very rarely sort of paddock watch. Our greatest respect for people that do and pick winners from it. But I happened to be sort of in the paddock before the Ballyglasheen one and watching them go around, and I thought, my God, that horse looks absolutely outstanding. And there was he just looked absolutely gleaming. You know? So I looked up at the board and saw his price, and I thought, really? Maybe... Should I have a little go? And I thought, no, I haven't. You know, I'm sort of very much a form person and go by what I see in races, and thought, I'm no paddock judge. And then nearly kicked myself across the parade ring, obviously, when Ballyglasheen won. Now, I know that Evan has stated that he doesn't believe that the horse is good enough to win at a Triumph Hurdle. But if that's the case, then why is he sort of, you know, why is he turning back up here? Turned over the hot pot in Kentucky Hayden. And there's several sort of form lines in this that really kind of go into each other. Obviously, then Kentucky Hayden was beaten by Le Rocher at Chepstow in very heavy going. And one thing that I do like from the Ballyglasheen race at Cheltenham is that Vincenzo Mio was obviously beaten into fourth place, beaten 6 lengths by Ballyglasheen. And then he came out and won at Christmas at Kempton by 17 lengths. The form is stacking up. I am a fan of Goodwood Mirage, but like you, Alex, his jumping scares me. One thing he did impress me with at Kempton was his battling attitude. He sort of, you know, things went wrong for him and probably really had absolutely no right to win the race, but he did. And I did a podcast the other night. I do an Irish podcast, and my friend Noel, he was saying on that he kind of really takes note of horses that have done that, and I completely see his point. Ronaldinho there, I mean, the Alan King stable has been kind of through the wars with the virus. I know that there are signs that you know, it's being stated in the press that they feel as though that they're getting over it, but I still wouldn't want to be taking any chances on horses until I've seen what's happening when they're back on the track. I'm going to chance Ballyglasheen, Alex, because I really liked the manner. Oh, I liked what I saw beforehand. I really liked the manner of his victory at Cheltenham. Obviously, Goodwin Mirage there gets £3 from Bombgallagher Sheen, Kentucky Haydon, and the other two. But, you know, we know that Goodwin Mirage would have been taken back to Jackdaws and schooled extensively. There's no doubt about that. He was a very expensive purchase. They're going there, you know, with the Triumph hurdle fully in mind. But just, I like Ballyglass Sheen. I do really, really like him. He's very well bred. And, you know, who knows? Evan might be pulling our legs a little bit with his comments there about, because I certainly didn't see anything there that would actually put me off backing him going forward. So, going to stick with the December winner.
Okay then, Ballyglass Sheen, the pick there in the 12:40. Certainly a fascinating race coming up there. We'll skip a couple now. We'll go to the 2:25. It's the Argento Chase over 3 miles, 1.5 furlongs. Another Grade 2 contest. 7 runners down to go to post in this one. And 7 pretty interesting runners as well. Logical place to start here is with a horse that's likely to go off favourite in Rocky Creek here, Catherine.
Yeah, massive fan of Rocky Creek, Alex, to be honest. I've been with this horse ever since he first joined Paul Nicholls from his days in the Irish Pointing Field. When I was told about him coming, you know, look out for this horse, he's coming over here, won't really do anything over hurdles, but he'll make a fantastic, you know, staying chaser. My one worry with Rocky Creek is that on his only visit to Cheltenham, he didn't seem to really like it, but I do understand that he was a kind of a sick horse then. So even though I have it in the back of my mind, I would have rather have seen him act better around Cheltenham. You can probably give him a pass on that run when he was actually 8th to Brindisi Breeze at the 2012 festival. But bearing in mind that he does seem happiest on tracks like Doncaster and Ascot, and obviously we saw him to sort of good effect coming second to Trillo de Lane at Newbury in the Hennessy. I do just have that in the back of my mind, but I am a massive fan of the horse. I think this horse has got the potential to go on and win sort of something like the Grand National. I really do. One good thing, I think it would be a nice confidence boost for Darryl here, because Darryl actually gets on very well with Rocky Creek and that they are sort of like the perfect team. Going back to the race at Warwick that he won last year, they just gelled, and it was actually go back and watch that race. It's poetry in motion. I don't know about you, Alex, but I'm actually a little bit disappointed with the turnout for the Argento.
Well, it's you can pick holes in a lot of them.
Yeah,
I'll say that much. I mean, you look at those that are going to be challenging Rocky Creek, or at least how the betting suggests that they will. And Hublon de Zobo is a nice horse, don't get me wrong, but good enough to win an Argento?
Exactly.
Maybe not.
Yeah.
Harry Topper is, well, you thought maybe the penny had dropped when he won at Weatherby.
He did,
and
yeah.
Then couldn't win a 3-runner race at Sandown, so question marks there. But Champion Court is very much a nearly horse.
Yeah.
Restless Harry can't jump, but, well, I say can't jump, but I think was struggling for confidence.
Yeah.
Got the confidence booster maybe at Newbury. I think that could be one just at a price that could be slightly interesting. But then Pigeon Island shouldn't really be getting too close to these. And the Giant Bolster
hasn't shown anything
hasn't
this year.
Shown
yeah.
Much. So you can pick holes in a lot of them. Rocky Creek is the solid
He's
one. If you
solid
can forgive
one,
the Cheltenham misdemeanour, if you like, of a couple of years ago.
It's almost like a process of elimination, isn't it? So, and you just, you know, I don't really like putting. I think Rocky Creek's probably going to go off quite short, and I don't really like sort of putting up a short price. But by a complete process of elimination of them all, you do arrive at Rocky Creek. Champion Court, I don't know. I mean, to be honest with you, this trip in the ground, I think is going to be a bit of a stretch for him. We all know he loves Cheltenham, but. Even so, 3-mile-1 on soft ground. And to be honest, you know, obviously the ground was terrible on New Year's Day. I wasn't at Cheltenham on New Year's Day. I was in Ireland, but I was watching thinking, my God, it's turned into a lake. And we still have had quite a bit of rain here this week. Absolutely lashed down here for a couple of hours on Tuesday night. A little bit of rain last night. I believe that we're forecast more here today. It's very dark. So, you know, Cheltenham, of course, does drain well. It's going to be pretty testing. And I just can't see, you know, if this was kind of like 2 mile 5, then fair enough. You would have to bring Champion Court into it. Like you say, he is a nearly horse, but it's kind of his love for the track. But I just think that it's going to be a kind of step too far. And also, I don't know. Obviously, all last year they said that the horse wasn't right. I was actually at the media day at Martin Keithley's before the Paddy Power, and I mean, they were shouting him from the rooftops. So they've got him back. And I must admit, he looked an absolute picture on the gallop. But he was very disappointing in the Paddy Power. And they said that, you know, something obviously happened to him. And I don't think anything really came to light. And then he sort of went on to sort of just be beaten half a length in Peterborough by Riverside Theatre. But then again, that was such a strange race to call, because a bit like this, really, you could, they were all good horses, but you could kind of go through and pick holes in all of them. I just think this is just going to be a bridge too far tomorrow. Restless Harry, you know, he's either going to surprise everyone again tomorrow, or you know, he's going to blow out.
It's all or nothing, isn't
yeah.
it?
Pigeon Island, God bless him, such an admirable performer. But like you said, Alex, there's just, you think, oh, he can't get near these. Harry Topper, I do still. I mean, obviously he had those unfortunate incidents. He missed a big sort of two of Cheltenham and Aintree last year, and then, you know, things went wrong and seated at Kelso, brought down in Punchestown. But he's still yet to show me that he's capable of acting at the level that they want him to act at. But you still would sort of give him a little bit of interest. But yeah, I just can't see, unless something, I think Rocky Creek's class will take him round. And like you say, we will forgive the one run at Cheltenham, because if he wasn't right, you can understand that. He just looked a little unbalanced on some of the undulations for me, and that's why I couldn't have him in my mind really as a Gold Cup horse. And I do think that even though he's a very, very, very high class horse, I think that he does fall just below that kind of top. I think he actually wants a bit more of a test. I can totally see Grand National on his agenda in seasons to come. But yeah, I just, he's got the best form in the race. I think he's the classiest horse in the race, really. And so I can't see past him.
Okay. Just interesting to note, I've just been having a look here at the history of the race. From 2007 to last year's renewal in 2013, no winner shorter than 11-2 has won. Whether that influences people, you know, with me, that's something I often look at and go, well, if that keeps happening,
yeah,
you know, then maybe it will happen again. But I do agree that Rocky Creek has got outstanding claims in that one.
I
think it, by process of elimination, and possibly has the best form anyway. Certainly Rocky Creek looks
did
like...
have his problems after Newbury, though. Didn't they say something that he was, you know, he missed the Lexus because he had a bout of constipation.
I didn't know that, to be honest.
Yeah, and then I believe that sort of just reading about, because, you know, even when he was entered in this, I thought, oh, that's interesting. I wouldn't have sort of put them really going to Cheltenham with him. And then I think Paul Nicholls said this week that Newbury took a lot out of him. So that in mind, you would have to have that in mind. But like we said, it's just, I mean, Hoblons is Oboe. You know, he's won at Cheltenham, he's come fourth at a festival, but I still think Rocky Creek's the classiest horse, to be honest with you. And he was actually beaten by Rocky Creek in the Randallstown at Ascot. It's the Randallstown, isn't it? I always get those race names mixed up. So yeah, you know, look, we're going around in circles about Rocky Creek, but yeah, he can't see past him.
I'm just I'm trying to find confirmation of the aforementioned constipation.
to be fair, I did actually read that on Twitter.
Oh right, okay.
That he was missing the I think it was kind of like early December that he was going to miss.
Twitter's always right, Catherine.
He was going to miss the Lexus because of this bout of constipation.
Well, hopefully he's
over it anyway.
Slightly more free now. We'll move on to the next race that we'll look at. It's going to be the 3 o'clock. Novices hurdle grade 2 contest over 2.5 miles. 7 runners again going to post. Another very, very interesting race. Where should we start with this one, Catherine?
If we start with the top one, Abusin, obviously was a little bit of a surprise winner on New Year's Day. But what I found interesting about Abusin was the gallop that he was able to maintain in that going and the way that he fought for the victory. And that really made me sit up and think, wow, that's a very, very nice horse to do that in the sea-like conditions. You've got a big heart and you've got some engine. Wouldn't be the biggest shock to me if he went in here, but there's a horse in here that I'm a little bit mad about. We'll come to him in a minute. Creepy again, looks same colours as Champion Court. He kind of it's all or nothing with Creepy, really, isn't it? He does have a tendency to get very wound up before his races. He won at the open meeting, but things haven't really gone to plan after that. Where was it? Yeah, he unseated in the Challow. And then, I mean, look, his last outing at Warwick, beaten 49 lengths. I think this is a little bit of a, obviously, you've got the fact that he likes Cheltenham, but I wouldn't really want to be backing him off the back of that Warwick run. Rathfinden, I know a lot of people at Warwick thought that he just sort of started to come under pressure when he fell, but I thought he was travelling quite nicely before he came down. I thought that he'd actually sort of just started to make a challenging move. And if you actually read the sort of the race comments, actually says disputing close second when fell 3 out. So I've gone back and watched the race a couple of times, and I can't see where he's really being. I know he was asked for a few flights. I think he is a very, very interesting contender. Horse I'm a little bit mad about is Red Sherlock. Obviously, he beats the Sky Farmer at Ascot in February last year, and then was put away. Won the Grade 2 bumper at the Open meeting, which is always a bumper that I like, and I think always works out pretty well. What I liked about his victory is that he was as green as grass. He was all over the place, but still managed to win and actually stayed on. Several horses in behind him that I quite like, namely Champagne at Tara and Southfield Vic. And I think that bumper, when if we're going back and looking at that bumper in several seasons' time, we will think, well, you know, some really nice types have come out of that. And obviously, facile success at Southern didn't really have to do anything. And probably the victory at Wetherby as well. But one thing I like about him is he's so green. And he kind of runs into the last at Wetherby and almost ran down it. But it doesn't stop him. It doesn't stop his momentum. And I think that is the sign of a very, very good horse. I think, look, the Pipe team, I was reading David Pipe's blog the other day, and they say, and it is noticeable from that Grade 2 win in the bumper at Cheltenham, and even though he is still showing slight signs of greenness, they are slowly stamping it out. I actually quite fancy this horse to run a nice race at big prices in either the Supreme or the Neptune. Obviously, we don't know where he'll be going yet. The fact that this is over sort of 2 mile 4 would possibly suggest that they're more heading towards the Neptune, but I'm a little bit of a fan of this horse. I've been very, very taken with him. Regal Diamond, obviously beaten by Abusin at Cheltenham on New Year's Day. I think we were all maybe very taken with his bumper win at Aintree at the back end of last season, and then obviously he was very, very well fancied, went off favourite for the bumper at the October meeting at Cheltenham, got beaten by the horse that finished second to Red Sherlock at the Open meeting, Con Eagley. I just very interested in Abusin, very interested in Rathfinden, but I'm a little bit mad about Red Sherlock, so I will go for him.
Okay then. Just a couple of points on that. The top one, Abusin. Would mm-hmm. would you keep the jockey on board, Liz Kelly? I mean, done nothing wrong so far. Obviously, Chepstow and Cheltenham victories, and she was very good in the saddle at Cheltenham. But now that she can't take the seven off, would you be sort of erring towards perhaps getting a more experienced jockey there or not?
I mean, because it's her mum is married to Nick Williams, isn't
it? Yeah, I think it is a family connection. Yeah. I think, yeah.
Personally, I thought she was fantastic on New Year's Day. Yeah, look, why not? Obviously, like you said, she can't claim the seven. But yeah, I think she deserves her.
She's earned her chance.
Yeah, she deserves her chance, and she's. I think absolutely fair play to her. She looked pretty polished on New Year's Day, and she's obviously got quite a nice association with this horse. They obviously click. She was absolutely overjoyed. She gave a great interview afterwards. I mean, that must have been some buzz. Even though it was an absolutely filthy day, and I was actually quite glad that I wasn't there. I think she's earned it, Alex. I think she deserves it, and best of luck to her. Be fantastic for her, you know, if she went in again.
Okay then, just one horse that I will throw at you. Well, not at you, but Owen the View won't be winning tomorrow, but certainly will be winning.
Yes.
Going handicapping a horse that has been in my tracker.
Okay.
Since his Perth run, actually. Backed him at Ludlow and thought he was going to get the job done. This is certainly a bridge too far, and it may actually scupper a handicap mark. But so thank you, Fergal O'Brien. But no, certainly one to keep an eye on. But Red Sherlock, I think, will take all the beating there. In the 3 o'clock race, the final race that we'll look at is the 3:35. It is the Cleve Hurdle, a Grade 2 contest over 3 miles. 6 runners going to post. Only one place to start here, Catherine.
Big bucks. Fantastic to see him back. Obviously, this race was earmarked for quite a long time out that this would be his return. So it would just literally be Cleve, and Woodland Den would be the World Hurdle in March. Like I said about Paul Nicholls, there is no doubt in my mind that this horse is going to be absolutely race fit. Of course he is. And also, if this horse wasn't right, there's no way that these connections would even bother risking him. You can sort of, like I said, he does right by his horses. So you know that Big Bucks is going to be absolutely tuned to the minute. He is an 11-year-old, but there's no reason to suggest that he's lost any of his ability. The fact that At Fisher's Cross has had his problems, combined with a possible problem in the yard, I certainly wouldn't be touching him here. Boston Bob, oh, I nearly cried when he came down at the last in the RSA. I just thought he just made such a beautiful sweeping move on the outside of the field, and then crumpled at the last. I know there's a school of thought that he was beaten and that it was a tired fall. I don't think he was beaten, because this fella would literally stay 5 miles. Obviously, then he came down at Punchestown as well. So, look, you can't really... There's not a lot that you can really read into his victory at Punchestown, because, you know, he went off 8-11, beat Umbo Matan by 10 lengths. That was absolutely no surprises at all. It didn't tell us a lot. I'll be looking to see how close Boston Bob can get to Big Bucks, and whether Big Bucks has retained everything. This is very much a watching brief for me. Nakara Bow, God, he's never won at Cheltenham, but you can't say that he doesn't act there, because he runs on up the hill every time. Course to Tate does have a course win under his belt, but second, was obviously second to Return Spring at Cheltenham on New Year's Day. But there's just, you know, what, 147 Big Bucks, 174, there's just, you know, there's no way, unless, you know, they all stop for dinner or something on the way round. That's just not going to happen. But I fully expect Big Bucks to win, Alex. But I'm not going to sit here and put up a wallet. What price is he with you?
He is 5-4 on.
Yeah. And what price is Boston Bob?
Boston Bob 9-2. Rev de Civilla 7-2. At Fisher's Cross 7-1. And 33s are bigger than the other two.
To be honest, I would have a reverse exact of Boston Bob and Big Bucks.
Okay.
I would do like a reverse forecast or something like that, because I fully expect Boston Bob to come second to Big Bucks.
Okay then. So that is the Cleve Hurdle coming up at 3:35. Great race in store, obviously. And Big Bucks and Boston Bob are the two that are interesting there. Great stuff, Catherine. Thank you very much for your time.
No problem.
Enjoy the action tomorrow, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Cheers, Alex.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.